Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women here on CFUN. The first half of the show, we've just had Dr. Galman here in studio with us, oncologist for the BC Cancer Agency. And now our second half of the show, we have Dr. Nancy Van Lincoln with us. And our second half of the show is about breast reconstructive surgery post-mastectomy, or maybe even during the procedure of mastectomy. Dr. Nancy Van Lincoln is a fully certified plastic surgeon and is a member of the Canadian Society of Plastic Surgeons, as well as the Canadian Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. Dr. Van Lincoln graduated from medical school at the University of Ottawa and obtained her plastic surgery training at the University of British Columbia. She's currently the head of the Department of Surgery for Providence Healthcare in Vancouver. Dr. Van Lincoln is a clinical associate professor, Division of Plastic Surgery at the University of British Columbia, and an active medical staff member at BC Children's and Women's Hospital. She was awarded one of Canada's top 10 doctors in the Hospital News in January 2000. Congratulations for that, and welcome to Unlocking Secrets, Dr. Van Lincoln.
Thank you very much.
It's an honor having you here. I appreciate you taking the time out of your very, very busy schedule to come and talk about this extremely important issue to women. Whether or not we have had breast cancer or not, the odds are that somewhere close to us or in the statistics that very likely it could be one of us. And so these issues on cancer and breast reconstruction are important to all women. Either we've had a sister or a mother or someone that's been affected or a friend. And so I would like to just talk to you about, you know, your experience, what your feelings are about breast reconstruction surgery, what you find is important with your patients, and maybe the different types of procedures that are done. And I'll just pass it over to you and let you talk about what you do.
Well, thank you very much, and I welcome the opportunity to help educate women about breast reconstructive surgery. There are many options available. Some women choose to have the procedure done at different times through the course of their therapy. Other women choose different types of procedures, and some women even choose not to have a reconstruction. Mm-hmm. I think the critical thing is that they are made aware of what their options are early, and they're given some direction as to what would be appropriate and support through that period, that time. And when we see the patients early, when I say we, plastic surgeons, to discuss the reconstructive procedure, it's usually quite a traumatic period for them. Mm-hmm. They've just been diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just worried about surviving rather than the next phase. And what we like to try to do is to encourage them and say, there is a next phase. Let's mm-hmm. get on with the part after the cancer has been dealt with and try and put as positive a spin on it as we can. Mm-hmm. We see many young women now with breast cancer, women with small children. Mm-hmm. We see elderly women as well, but fortunately detection is so good in mm-hmm. Canada. We're very fortunate that we can pick up cancers early. The probability of cure is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is very hopeful.
It's very hopeful. And, you know, being faced with a potentially, I hate to use the word deforming, but that's sometimes how people see it, surgery. Mm-hmm. But being able to have the opportunity to correct that mm-hmm. Efficiently and quickly is, I think, important to the patient's mental health, which, of course, contributes in the long run to how they do in general.
Mm-hmm.
So in my practice, I see a mix of patients who have just recently had a diagnosis of breast cancer who mm-hmm. have not yet had their mastectomy.
Okay.
And what we do is we discuss, and I keep saying the word we because there's a whole bunch of plastic surgeons who do this, and, and I'm here on behalf of the surgeons who do that surgery. We have to discuss with the patient what their best option is, and that is going to be based on age. Sometimes based on the need for radiation therapy.
Okay.
It might be based on the patient's body habitus, for example, for the reconstruction with their own tissue, which is known as the tram flap. It's helpful to have a little roll of extra tissue in the tummy. If you don't have a lot of tissue there, it's difficult to recommend that as the main source of reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the recovery, the time off work, long-term sequela. And we try to show a lot of pictures if we can. Mm-hmm. I always show my patients what the implants are. We just try and give them as much information as we can.
You're really empowering them to help be a part of that process so that they don't feel overwhelmed.
Definitely. But although sometimes mm-hmm. with all the information, they still feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, they've just seen probably three different doctors,
wow.
a surgeon, an oncologist, and now the plastic surgeon. And
mm-hmm.
some of them will look at me and say, well, what do you think? Because I can't make another decision, you know.
Bless their heart, yeah.
And so we have to be sensitive to the social circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, women that have multiple small children at home will have less opportunity to have a luxurious recovery than a woman who has grown children, who has someone to look after them. Professional women who don't want to lose their edge in their career by being off work for a long period of time. So there's many things that enter into it, and we try and just give a bit of guidance on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the women come after they've been living with a mastectomy wound for, or no, I shouldn't say wound, but the deformity for a number of years, and they finally say, you know, life does go on, and mm-hmm. I'm tired of worrying about how I look in my bathing suit, and now it's time to consider a reconstruction.
So what I hear you saying is yourself and the other surgeons that are involved in this reconstruction process are endeavoring to be acutely sensitive to what that particular woman's desires and needs are, and that you're there to facilitate with your expertise to help them in what is the best thing for them and where they're at emotionally, mentally.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, because it's a combination treatment, it's not just the physical surgical procedure.
Right.
It's how that impacts their psyche, mm-hmm. how it impacts their work life and their family life, and just being sensitive to what might be best. As you say, it's a sensitivity for them mm-hmm. to know what's best for them, and it's a multifactorial process. I mean, there's so many things that enter into what you end up doing.
Exactly. So now, for instance, I mean, you know, we were talking before the show about this ability, or the almost the ideal situation, if a candidate is capable or able, is to have the mastectomy procedure and then still be under general anesthetic. You would be coming in behind that surgeon and performing that surgical procedure. And for those women that are candidates for that, that is phenomenal. What can you talk a little bit about that sort of immediate process?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that we're trying to offer to more and more women. Mm-hmm. It requires a coordinated effort between the general surgeon who does the mastectomy and the plastic surgeon who does the reconstruction in terms of availability.
That's hard to schedule.
It can be very difficult, and our secretaries have on many occasions canceled and moved patients and changed offices and rearranged ORs to accommodate that, but it is a priority.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly a priority in my office, mm-hmm. and I can say the same for all the other surgeons who are involved with that. But we feel that the women who are appropriate candidates should have an opportunity to decide whether or not they want to go ahead with an immediate reconstruction and have it done at the same time. That is good because it allows them to have one anesthetic rather than two, so
exactly.
they don't have to come back in 6 months and have their reconstruction done later. It allows them psychologically that edge to say, you know what, I'm dealing with the cancer and I'm moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to choose the patients carefully because there are certain circumstances where it's not appropriate to consider the reconstruction, and the general surgeons and the oncologists will pre-screen those patients for us most of the time.
So that by the time they come to you, you have a very good idea of what you're able to offer them.
And that they are an appropriate candidate. Okay. Now, having said that, on occasion, women will be absolutely determined to have that reconstruction done at the mm-hmm. time of the mastectomy, even though there may be issues surrounding that
mm-hmm.
that are less than desirable. We don't refuse to do that mm-hmm. if the patient feels very strongly about
it. If it's important to them, it's just going to continue to be a block to them until it's resolved.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Now, our difficulty is often with the logistics, and as much as I would like to educate women and other surgeons to know that this is a process that's available, we are working as hard and as fast as we can to keep up with the demand.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an expectation that as more and more women are aware of this as being a possibility, they are going to be demanding that service from their surgeons. And
mm-hmm.
I'm speaking about women who may come from areas where mm-hmm. there are general surgeons who mm-hmm. will service the population for the general surgical need, but there may not be a plastic surgeon in that community.
Mm.
And that is cumbersome.
That's hard.
Yeah, because they will have had the diagnosis made and the plan will have been made to move forward with a mastectomy, and there's no one there who can do the reconstruction.
Mm.
So then they have to make a decision. Do I wait, be referred to another general surgeon and a plastic surgeon in the city, or do I just go ahead and have it done in the community where they live? And I don't, you know, it'll be a long time before we can serve the needs of all the patients, but they should at least know that it's possible, that it's available, because on occasion I'll see a woman who said, if I would have known this, I would have pursued having it done at the same time.
And I think that's, I guess what you're saying is, and what we've learned over the years as physicians and as consumers of medicine, as patients, is that we need to take sort of, have some kind of feeling of power and taking charge of what it is that we need as people. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a physician and as a specialist, you do the best you can to offer what you can to people, but it really comes down to that woman to express to you what really is important to her. And that you hear that, and that I love that, the fact that you do listen, and I'm sure there's many surgeons out there that are listening to the hearts of these women.
That's very true, and the whole concept is to try and satisfy the needs, whatever they might be, of that individual at that time.
Excellent. Now, we have a caller on the line. Her name is Leah. She's actually been featured in Canadian Living magazine this issue, I believe. And she's got an excellent and positive story that I think it's important for younger women, especially, to hear about the good experience. Not that it's a good experience, but it's the best you can do in a bad situation. And she's got a great story to share with us, as well as promoting their first ever conference on May 14th and 15th. Welcome, Leah, to Unlocking Secrets for Women.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leah, for being vulnerable and sensitive and willing enough to share your very, very personal experience with us. We have great respect for your willingness to do that and be able to build up other women and help them. Just briefly, we've got just a little under 2 minutes here. Can you explain to us your experience and then go ahead and talk to us about the conference that you've got coming up?
Sure. I was first diagnosed when I was 25, and I had a recurrence when I was 27. Mm. I was also pregnant at the time, so I had chemo in my third trimester, and I went ahead and had the mastectomy about 10 days after I had my daughter.
Oh my.
And actually, everything was quite successful. I had a skin graft from my leg onto my chest wall because the cancer had spread to the skin. Mm. So that already made my situation unique when I decided to later on have my reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So I opted for the tram, as the doctor had mentioned, where they took from my abdomen some tissue and one of my left abdominal muscle, mm-hmm. and built up a new breast for me.
Wow.
So it took just about a year to get everything finished. I had the first set of the reconstruction. Then I went on to have a nipple formed. Then I just actually finished off with having it tattooed, so it looks almost identical to the other breast, which is fantastic.
Oh, that must be much more comfortable for you.
Oh, it is. It is. It's great. And the whole process actually was a nice, smooth process. Once I decided to get it done, it kind of made everything happen for me really quickly. And I did delay my reconstruction for about a year.
Mm.
So, because I was going through too much at the time when I originally had the mastectomy. So.
Which is understandable. I mean, every individual knows how much they can handle before there's a breaking point, and it's good that you were sensitive enough to yourself to know what you could and could not handle.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a really good experience, actually. My surgeons were excellent.
I find it ironic that you would call it a good experience, but what you've done is made the best out of a very bad situation, and I'm really glad for you that it worked out. So one of your colleagues has told me that your breast is quite beautiful.
It is. Well, we're going in a calendar, and it's quite funny at our groups. We're always showing each other what the newest reconstruction bits and pieces. So,
well, I guess
it's actually it's good for the other women because they're all curious to see where we're at and how does it look and what does the nipple look like, and they all look different. So.
And it is, our bodies are machines, and it really technically they're just machines. Dr. Van Laken's got a smile on her face across from me.
Well, some of the women who row on a breast in a boat team tell me that they're in the change room comparing breasts, and it puts a lot of pressure on me because I know my work's being compared to everybody else's, so that's why I'm smiling.
Yeah, that happens. We're like, so who was yours? We're like, comparing surgeons. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That just can only just make the best out of you, Dr. Van Laken. So, Leah, you wanted to just, I'd like you to talk a little bit about this new conference you're doing. We've got about just under 60 seconds for you to just tell us about your conference, because we're going to link it up on our website.
Great.
Under Need Expert Help, and we'd love to be able to help promote that conference for you.
Great. It's called The Young and the Breastless.
Love it.
And
it's
a networking event for young women with breast cancer.
Okay.
And it's on May 14th and 15th of this year. It's going to be at UBC.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking. We've got some expert speakers coming in. Actually, Dr. Gelman's one of our speakers.
That's great.
And we're going to be talking about issues that face young women with breast cancer, such as fertility, sexuality and desire, coping and depression, and support. And we're going to have breakout sessions where we can talk individually to each other and get to know other women across Canada.
Oh, great.
As well as little individual sessions where we'll have meditation and yoga and art therapy.
It sounds like you're covering everything. That is fantastic. So again, thank you, Leah, for coming on to Unlocking Secrets for Women. We will post that on our website for those
thank
that
you.
Are listening. Yeah, you're more than welcome. Anything we can do to help. And so we're going to be right back after the break here on Unlocking Secrets for Women.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.